listen to Danny Lakey and turn it up to the ceiling. Everything could go so wrong, but you'll be so happy. It's Danny Lakey, yeah. It's Danny
right across
Lakey.
Australia, this is the Danny Lakey yeah. Show.
It's Danny Lakey.
There are two things that are certain in life, death and taxes. I wish there was a third, that your partner was definitely not a pirate. But unfortunately, you can never be too sure. There are some warning signs, some red flags to look out for, figuring out if you're dating a pirate or not. The saga for me to become a truck driver potentially continues. I'm very over this job, but very much keen on becoming a truck driver. Just want to make sure that everything suits my lifestyle. We discuss the underground truckie road stop sex scenes. Also, Donald Trump, 7 days left, so news.com.au, they have nothing to write about anymore. They're having a Donald Trump closing down sale. Now, it's a big day. A lot of people have been through a lot. I mean, dealing with the new normal, it's the first day of the rest of our lives. And people woke up to the news this morning that shocked, and we've known it's been coming for a while.
It's one of our most iconic food brands, Coon Cheese. The company declared it would be rebranded. From now on, it'll be known as Chia Cheese.
Change. Big change for a big cheese brand. And we've had all the lead up in the world. I remember it was 8 or 9 months ago where we first caught wind that, yes, Coon Cheese. And I have to say Coon Cheese a couple of times in this break to make sure that everyone's on the same page and know not to repeat the mistakes as of moving forward because of the new name. Chia Cheese. But 8 or 9 months ago, Coon Cheese notified everyone that, yes, they are going to go through a name change. And some people were up in arms. Like, oh, God, political correctness. What's next? Oh, first the Chicos, then the Redskins, now the Coon Cheese. It's too much. I've had enough. And then other people were like, yeah, well, it's just cheese, so I don't really care. And I must admit, I was probably in that boat for a little bit. There was a brief stage, probably around late October, early November, where I was getting my knickers in a little bit of a cheesy twist, but then I zoomed right back out again. It was all over Sunrise and the morning shows this morning. I believe A Current Affair are running the story concurrently to this show right now, which has always been a dream of mine to do the same story of A Current Affair at the exact same time. They got the big dog on, of course. Big Boss Cheese himself. He is in America, and of course, like big global corporations these days, the Coon Cheese brand is owned by a company, which is owned by a company, which is owned by a company. So they got the big guy on. They got the guy at the top. What did he have to say?
Big day for you. The rebrand has been on the cards, I know, since July last year. But how difficult was it to decide on that name?
It was challenging. You know, although we've only owned it since 2015, it was important for us to understand that that name did not please a group of consumers that were enjoying the cheese.
Yeah, I mean, they were consumers. They were enjoying the cheese, but they did have a small gripe with the name. And I hate to be tarred of, oh, God, yeah, you one of those PC brigade, eh? I just think, well, if there is a small portion of society that were offended by the cheese, since it's only cheese, change the cheese. Those views are not echoed by Christine McDonald on Twitter, who wrote today, oh my God, political correctness gone mad. Coon Cheese will always be Coon Cheese, not this stupid Chia Cheese name change. Then three palm faces. Three. A triple palmer. Unbelievable. And I just wanted to slide into Christine McDonald's DMs and say, hey, Christine, have you become too Coon Cheese focused over the years? Have you maybe forgotten that there are other cheeses out there? Because there are. I mean, the other company, I mean, I've always been a mainland guy, so it was quite easy for me to accept the change today. I've dabbled in Devondale. I've had the Devondale dabble like most Australians. Littles is an up-and-comer. They do a great lactose-free cheese. Oh, God, I could speak about cheese all day. Producer Mick, ask me what my favourite cheese is. Ask me.
What's your favourite cheese?
Oh, it's like choosing my favourite child. No, I'm a Devondale man and a mainland kind of guy, but I have to say I'm probably a camembert kind of man. I do enjoy charcuterie.
You're a specific man.
Well, I'm very classy when it comes to my cheeses. Camembert if I'm on a picnic. As far as just all day, everyday fridge sort of stuff, yeah, it's a mainland Colby. Grated. grated, of course. I'll splurge and pay the extra dollar to have it pre-grated for myself. But there's a lot of great cheeses out there. I'd imagine you are a cheese girl, a cheesy mistress.
Yes, I am. I'm a bocconcini fan.
You know what? Knew you'd be a bocconcini kind of guy. And that is an up-and-comer. You see the rise of the halloumi, and it is the most expensive thing on the breakfast menu these days. I wouldn't be surprised if bocconcini were having these similar conversations in a couple of years from now. It's a light, wispy ball, subtle in taste, not very filling either. So you can easily guzzle down 8 to 10 bocconcini balls in a sitting.
And different sizes, cherry, large, yeah. In between.
That's a great thing with a ball as well. It's very easy to manipulate the size of the bocconcini, and that's playing into the bocconcini's flavour. But on 133.53, what's your cheese of choice? I mean, are you more salt of the earth kind of mozzarella, grated? I mean, are you a coon slash now cheer cheese kind of person? Are you more upper class? Are you more privy to your Italian culture? Do you subscribe to the perfect Italiano Parmigiano? And something along those lines. There's a whole heap of cheeses out there. I just feel we've become too coon cheese focused. Let's zoom out. Let's celebrate cheese. 133.53. What's your cheese of choice? Chris in Honeywood, Tasmania. We did pose the question, what's your cheese of choice? We've become too coon focused tonight. So let's just zoom back out. Let's take a breath as a nation. What's the cheese of choice?
Cheese of choice would be a soft, smoky cheddar.
Yeah, great. And this is a man who knows what he's talking about, because never has a town like Honeywood, Tasmania sounded more like somewhere that produces cheese. You probably have a strong cheese presence in the community. You know your cheeses. You've been around the block. It's not your first cheesy rodeo. This isn't the first cheese that you had. So how many cheeses roughly, and I know you probably haven't been keeping score, but how many cheeses would you say you've had in your life?
I'm going to say over 50.
Yeah, nice. That's ballpark. That's exactly what I expected. I even wrote that down. I said, I suspect Chris from Honeywood's had over 50 cheeses. Soft smoky. So in my experience, soft smoky, that's got a brown wax to it. Smoky Correct. Usually has a brown. Yeah, that's good, isn't Correct. It? I love that there's a universal wax to let you know what experience you're about to have with the cheese.
I think if you're buying a cheese that's got a wax around it, I think you are going to pay a little bit more for it, but you will be a little bit more satisfied at the same time.
Absolutely. It's horses for courses. I appreciate the call.
Before I go, you chuck one of those soft, smoky cheddars under a cheese salamander, and then you're serving melted, soft, smoky cheddar off a salamander onto your steak or onto your bit of meat that you're serving up as a dinner. It's unbelievable.
Wow. Chris from Honeywood goes whack on the way out. God, food for thought. Producer Mick, I know that there's a lot of phone calls coming through. Can I just prod you into the status of Johnny, who has hung up now, but he was a coon man until today. What did Johnny have to say?
He was a coon man. He's disappointed. Oh, he just wanted coon.
Johnny, please, call back. I hear your pain. I'm not saying I agree with all of the pain, but I can empathise with Johnny. Look, it's a tough day for Johnny. He's been through a lot already. But Johnny, if you are still listening, if it's not too painful, call up. Let us know why you won't be cooning anymore. Victoria in Forestville. Hello.
Hi, Danny. How are you?
Yeah, great. What's your cheese of choice?
I'm good. I just have to say Gruyere cheese has to be the king of cheeses.
Okay.
But cheese, it's got to be the Swiss one. Don't buy a copy one that they make here. Yeah. It's not as good.
Okay, Gruyere, you must forgive me. I'm not aware of this cheese. It's a genre. It's a style of cheese. I'm going to go with the spelling Gruyere.
Exactly, yep.
Yeah, nice.
That's it. So, and it is beautiful. And I've only been lucky enough to try it because I've been to Switzerland. Otherwise, I wouldn't have tried it.
Okay, I'm going to have to write a note here.
Write a note because my husband, he adores it.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely adores it.
And that's great that when you can find someone who is on the same cheesy wavelength as you, because you see it too often that the people will split after 20 years because it grates on people. Pardon the pun, but if you're not on the same cheese wavelength, that gets tough.
You've got to be on the same wavelength, totally.
Especially for the kids. Thanks, Kelly. Who else we got here? Thanks, Victoria. Now we'll move to Kelly. Oh, God, cheesy. What's your favourite cheese, Kelly?
Okay, my favourite cheese is blue vein cheese.
Nice. I like that no longer is it only humans and living creatures that have veins. Cheese now also has the beating pulse of mould going right through it. And the mouldier, the better, I'm assuming?
Exactly. And it goes really well with a Malabar Estate glass of wine.
Wow. whack again. I mean, we've had salamanders, malabars, there's all sorts going on. Whoa, oh, hang on a second. Producer Mickey, is it true that Jono, the man who was a coon guy until today, has called back in?
He's back.
Holy shit. Holy shit. We've also got another man by the name of Jono as well, who also was a coon cheese man today as well. So there's a strong correlation here. We'll go to Johnny first from mainland. Hello, Johnny. It's been a big day. It's been a big day. Johnny.
Is that me?
Yeah. Yeah. If your name is Johnny, then yeah.
Yeah, yeah. East Maitland. East Maitland.
Yeah. Okay. So it has been a big day for you.
It's been a big day. It's a worry. I mean, I love coon cheese, yeah. But I'm a Kiwi. And I don't believe, just now that they've changed to cheers, I don't know. I can't see it in the same light. So,
I see.
I love my Tararua cheese from New Zealand, And I can't go into the shopping centre in Coles and look at cheers. No. It reminds me of the bar in America.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I thought. I thought, oh, God, I mean, it is a bar in America. It was a popular TV show in the 80s, wasn't it? So that's a logical reason as to why you wouldn't support the name change, I'm assuming.
No, I don't support it. They could have done something more Australian, because coon is an indigenous name to a long, long time cheese name.
So
devastating. Change the name because of some American slang. It's not a good thing.
Yeah, no, I thought, part of me thinks the same thing, and then part of me thought, well, it's just cheese. Let's move to Jono in Gladmore Park. So do you echo Johnny's sentiments? I mean, he's transitioning. It's tough because when you've eaten coon cheese for so long and then pretty much just put a stop to it because it reminds you of a bar in America. It's a lot to take in. What's your thoughts, Jono?
Yeah, mate. G'day, buddy. Mate, I've just had enough of this political correctness. The man that invented coon cheese, that's his surname. Let's stay with it. Are we going to stop things like we can't call black paint black paint anymore? I just had enough of it, mate.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that the stark difference is that the man who invented black paint, his last name wasn't black paint.
Yeah, okay. But the man that invented the cheese, the coon cheese, his name was Coon.
Yeah.
Come on. How is he going to just let it go?
Yeah.
Come on, let's wake up to our souls.
Yeah, no. It's a good point that you raise. I mean, you've got to think, like, do we satisfy the appetite of one man? Who, I mean, have we talked to Edward Coon? What are his thoughts on the name change? I'm not sure. I assume that maybe because he invented the cheese 80 years ago, he may be deceased. So I would like to hear from Edward Coon's family, from the brethren. I'd like to know if they support the name change.
Yes. Look, yes.
It's a decent point. You don't like to see a man who invented his own cheese be forgotten in the annals of time.
It's just ridiculous, mate. I won't be buying coon cheese anymore, mate.
No,
I won't be buying it.
No, well, they've lost Jono. That's the thing. I mean, you raise a good point, and then I just keep going back to the point that it's just cheese, though. That's all.
The Danny Lakey Show Catch Up Podcast.
Trump's demoralized staff countdown final days. Nice use of the word demoralised, just so downtrodden, so down on their luck, so exhausted after 4 years in office with President Trump. I mean, I don't really subscribe too much into politics. I think it's one of those things that the more interested you get in it, the more pissed off you become. It seems almost in a way quite disproportionate to how much it would actually affect your real life. Nevertheless, different strokes for different folks. I like the theatre. I like the tomfoolery of the thing. I didn't mind getting the popcorn and watching a press conference or two. It's always going to happen. Like, something's bound to happen here. There'll be some sort of something going on. I like the way as well that most news sites that I consume, they've just stuck the screwdriver in over the last 4 years. It's been real lefty kind of stuff. And I don't quite necessarily agree with how far left it went because I think it just inflames both sides anyway. And creates this weird narrative that people are just so far one way or you're so far the other, where in reality, most people are just in the middle laughing at Trump. President Donald Trump has lost the support of many loyalists in his administration, apparently, after a riot at the US Capitol that helped provoke, and his White House is in meltdown as it lurches through its final days. That's the thing, there's only 7 days left. This time next Wednesday, there won't be really articles anymore about the president. There won't really be all these funny little news clips. Just like you never see anything about George Bush anymore. Whereas like back in the day when he was president, you'd always like see things on the Tonight Show or he said what? Or he did this? And then no more. It'll just kind of be back to just boring old Biden, kind of like how it was with Barack Obama. From a media circus point of view, there's not much gear going on. News.com.au, they'll be hating this. News.com will be chewing their fingernails going, what do we want to write about anymore? Like all this stuff. Like even right now, like you could guarantee right now there's things on, let me just get news.com up now. What's the, up front, first story, Trump's billions at risk. Okay. Right below that, Trump refusing to back down. Right under that, staunch Trump defender now hates him. Going down a bit more. Oh, pro-Trump airport fury. It's just relentless, like any angle they can go. And news.com.au, news.com have no idea what to do anymore. It's almost like it's a closing down carpet warehouse sale for news.com.
It's the final week of news.com's Donald Trump closing down sale. All articles written about the 45th president of the United States has got to go. Screenshots of dodgy tweets, 50% off. Clickbait articles inciting outrage to the left, reduced to just 10 bucks. Hair malfunctions with accompanying edited photos, slashed. Your final chance to read made-up rumours of Melania leaving him in its final days. Dodgy journalistic pieces about ongoing tension with China. Read one, get one free. Slightly sexist remarks taken out of context and printed as fact. All under $30. Our journos are at a loss writing their last pieces of inflammatory articles about potential nuclear war with North Korea, and it's all gotta go. Paragraphs dedicated to Barron Trump. Links to Donald Trump's hot daughters and what they posted on Instagram. Now up to 60% off. Write-ups about Donald Trump Jr. Limited stock available. With articles never to be repeated or printed again, now is the time to read. Stories about Donald Trump playing golf whilst looking lazy, tired and fat. All reduced. Ongoing feuds with Nancy Pelosi. Gotta go. Dangerous Trump theories on COVID-19. All in its final days. The final week of news.com's Donald Trump closing down sale now on. Don't miss out. Ends next Wednesday.
So far, we've learnt that Lakey can drive like a truckie.
And I drove 1,704 kilometres in 18 and a half hours.
It's pretty good.
And urinate like a truckie.
I used a Maximus bottle.
And generally thinks he's a truckie. But being a truckie requires long, isolated hours with nothing but your thoughts, the vibration of the road on your nether regions, and your two hands on the wheel at virtually all times. You see where I'm going with this. There will be pit stops. Can Lakey bang like a truckie?
Yeah, 100%.
Well, that's one of the best responses I've ever heard to one of the best questions ever asked.
Lakey's got questions. Who's got answers? Lakey the truckie on Triple M.
Yeah, ever since this time last week where I conducted a 1,704-kilometre drive in one fell swoop from Surfers Paradise to Melbourne. One way, no stops, no sleepovers, no nothing. I thought, God, is the truckie lifestyle for me? I mean, I passed that driving test with flying colours. I drove with me in the road, my own thoughts, my own podcast, my own audiobooks, music, and I enjoyed it very much. Before I make the quantum leap from radio announcer to full-time truck driver, I just want to make sure that I cross all the T's and dot all the I's, that I am indeed suited to the lifestyle. So I've got no problem with the driving. My suspicions were correct. The 1,704 kilometres in one go is impressive in the truckies world. We got the truckers' tick of approval on Monday night. Last night, I also had suspicions that truck drivers don't necessarily pull over to go to the bathroom. They have what's known as a piss bottle. I also had the suspicion that the prime piss bottle was a 1 litre Maximus. Quite a few truckies have that. Some go for more the 2 litre chocolate milk bottle option with the handle, extra grip, extra control, and that's fine. It's a lifestyle that I'm learning to live with and come to terms with, and I can really see myself carving out a nice career in a truck on the road. Something else that I just want to get the vibe of the truckies out there, and anyone who knows truckies, anyone who's been involved in the truck industry before, I am a rampant man. I am a sex-bound individual. I have certain needs as a red-blooded male, and I'm also a single man. Now, if I'm painting a picture of me on the road 5-6 days and nights a week, of course push needs to come to shove somehow. My suspicions are the following. That there are many single truckies out on the roads, and at times it gets a little lonely, but there are more than enough little nooks and crannies and truck stops and areas around Australia where you can go and get if you really wanted to. I don't know if there's some sort of truckers dating website. I don't know if there are a whole heap of female truckers as well. And maybe it's just a big old truckers orgy every evening at BP stations around the country. I don't know. I suspect that there are glory holes, roaming sex workers, and even damsels in distress who are very keen to snuggle up with a truckie for the night on the side of the Hume Highway. 133353, just trying to gauge a vibe of the sex scene for the truck drivers industry. Are glory holes rampant? Is there some sort of trucks? I've heard whispers where you put a sock on the right-hand mirror to let people know, almost like a shining sex beacon, like, hey, if anyone's down for it, come knocking so we can get this truck a-rocking. 133353, what's the go? Are you a single trucker out there? How do the truckers cope with that lonely lifestyle on the road? I mean, something's got to give. Is there a whole sprawling industry? What are the secrets? Let's get sorted before I make this jump into the trucker's job. Sean in Newcastle. Well, on the roads, it sounds right now. Getting up early, beating some of the rush hour.
Yes, that is correct.
Now, talk me through this. Are you a man who is single and has needs, or...?
Yes, your needs right. will be met in every way possible, mate.
Great. Coming in hot, and it's the start. It's music to my ears. So what's the go? How do truckies get their kicks on Route 66? Is it more of a glory hole situation? Is it more
of a... No. Most truck stops have got a number for you.
Okay.
But when you're driving around, mate, the things that you see driving around will satisfy you, to say the least.
Okay.
And the damsels in distress and our lovely fine females we have in Australia are not shy to show you a little bit and flag you over.
So you're talking that it's not uncommon to be driving and receive a flash of the breasts by the local township.
Mate, I was coming back down to Sydney today and I've seen a hell of a lot more than breasts.
Well, you love to see it. And you love to see that it's still alive and well. Interesting to note that the truck stops will even have a number for you. That's to the local sex worker hotline to say, hey, we've got Bruce. He's just come off a heavy 10-hour shift. He needs to let off some steam. Is that what we're talking?
Yes, and relaxation, mate. We've got to be fighting
yes.
fit.
Yes. Yeah, relaxing massage, perhaps.
They'll feed you and take care of you in other ways.
Wow, you love to see it because I always thought that maybe you'd have to navigate around. There might be a pissed off BP worker and they're like, "Oi, what's going on here? Any more monkey business back here?" And you'll have to get out of this rest stop. So it's slyly encouraged. It's promising signs.
And, also the backpackers.
I mean, it sounds like Sean is getting more sex than most of us just in 9-to-5 metropolitan city jobs. It's great to hear. Good on you, Sean Scott in Mittagong.
How are you going, bud?
Yeah, good, thanks. What do you have to say about the underground trucker sex scene?
Oh, mate, it's well and truly out there. Don't worry about that. I'm a retired truckie for about 25 years, but when I drove in Western Australia, mate, the things I saw... mate, would have opened your eyes bigger than dinner plates.
Wow. It's interesting that you say WA is one of the great hotspots. So,
mate, if you're travelling from Perth north, anywhere north, it didn't matter.
Something in the air up there.
My word, mate. I had this lovely lady in Carnarvon many times and would only have fun in the toilet.
Yeah, great. So, I mean, that's the thing. Beggars can't be choosers. Sometimes very small beds in the back of trucks. I mean, you're not going to get the Ritz, eh? It's not a 5-star Ritz. situation.
As I could say, mate, she liked a lovely T-bone with mash.
They're very versatile. She sounds like a great lady. Barry in Mount Gambier. Hello.
How are you, mate?
Good, thank you. You've lived a lifestyle on the road. Sometimes things can get lonely. What goes on?
Yeah, look, like the other two callers, the ones over in WA maybe, but it's not a real glamorous sight, mate. What you see between here, Sydney, Brisbane, it is not glamorous. And getting back to what you were saying last night, they piss in the bottle for a reason, to save time, keep them wheels rolling.
Yeah, of
mate,
course.
You just rub one out and get on with it.
yes. And I believe Barry prefers one of the 600ml Powerade bottles for that certain exercise itself. Look, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Some people are going nuts for the ladies of the night up at Carnarvon, having the time of their lives in the toilets up there. Not Barry. He's got some higher standards. He's going, nah, not today, sunshine. No, you'll need to do more than that to get me to pull this truck over. Tommy and Chuka, wrap this up on 133.53. You're more erring to the side of last night's conversation about the piss bottles.
Yeah, how are you going?
Yeah, great, thanks. What do you got to say? You're a truck driver?
Yeah. Great. What I've done is I've drilled a hole in the floor of my cabin. Yes. And I have a hose and a funnel going down, so I can actually just pull forward in the seat and straight into the funnel.
Yep.
And straight through the floor.
Yeah, nice. It sounds like you've really carved down a whole lifestyle within a lifestyle. It sounds like a full ecosystem going on down there.
So it's when you do this stuff, bud.
It's smart. It's ingenious. It's engineering at its finest. I just want to double check. We are talking about the piss thing now from last night, not the sex thing for tonight. Yeah. No, good. Good.
On last night, so I sort of bring back tonight. No.
Great. We just, we just need to clarify. The Danny Lakey Show Catch Up Podcast. But if you're in a relationship with someone, you're probably pretty sure, like 99.99% sure, that they are not a pirate. You can never be 100% sure that you're not dating a pirate, though. I mean, you've heard cases, maybe one case ever, that someone was thinking that they were in a loving, normal relationship, and they turned out to be a pirate. There's just a couple of warning signs that you may be dating a pirate.
Well, their last girlfriend was actually a pirate, and their leg falls off cheering for play. Signs that you're dating a pirate.
Yeah, so certain signs, certain red flags to look out for if you are dating a pirate. They're always drinking rum. I know there are a lot of just normal rum drinkers out there, but just be slightly suspicious in their rum intake, because that's what pirates are known for. Another way that you could potentially be dating a pirate, if you find a map in one of their pockets when doing the laundry. So study that map carefully. Just be on the lookout for anything like that. If they're way too interested in your booty, then they may be a pirate. If their name is Roger, don't worry about it. But if their name is Roger and he's also very jolly, but you can't help but probably ask the question whether or not he may be a pirate. If they've inquired about parrots on Gumtree, Craigslist, local pet stores, underground neighbourhood suburban bird dealers, look, it all adds up. It's all little chinks in a pirate's armour if they were trying to go underground. Look, if you're engaging in dirty talk and they call you a scurvy rat, that could be a very promising sign that you are actually dating a pirate. And probably the biggest telltale sign, it's quite a niche sign if you're dating a pirate, but if you were to surprise them with a cruise to Fiji and then they organise a mutiny when on board, eventually commandeering the ship, then, I mean, they're probably definitely a pirate, to be honest. And by then, it's too late. It's the pirate paradox. By the time you realise your partner is a pirate, you are already hostage on the vessel. The mutiny's already occurred. Hoi! Daddy Lakey! Triple M.